Last week we talked about who the Holy Spirit is, that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't an it, it's He. He is with us. John 16, John 14, even in some in John 15, all through Scripture when it talks about Jesus says, I'm going to go. And in one passage he says, listen, it's better for you that I leave. Now think about being a disciple, right? You're hanging around with Jesus. You've seen all these miracles take place. And you're just like, wow, this is pretty cool. And he says, listen, it's better that I leave. And they're like, what? He said, it's better because of who's coming. When I leave, the Father will send the helper, the advocate, to be with you, the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and he will guide you, and he will do this. So we talked about that. We have to understand this is part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he's the one that's with us. Okay, we read some scriptures when Stephen was being stoned and persecuted. So when he's being persecuted, he looks up into heaven, and he sees God, and at the right hand of God, he sees Jesus standing there. So he sees that they're there, but it says Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. So Stephen is a man full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with Stephen, God, Jesus in heaven, right? When Jesus was baptized, Jesus was the one. He's in the water. He's being baptized. He comes up, and it says the Holy Spirit ascended on Jesus like a dove. Ascended on Jesus. And the Father in heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So, again, you see all three that are God, but you see them in unique ways, all present at the same time. And that's the part of, you know, we didn't take a whole lot of time to dive into, well, how can three be one and one be three and they're all God, but yeah, they're all different. And well, all those same questions that you get asked. But here's kind of how I was trying to demonstrate a little bit last week. I am Scott. That's me. That's my name. Okay. I'm pastor. I'm dad. I'm husband. I'm friend. I can be different things to different people and still be the same person. And I'm still one person. Okay. I can be one person, operate in different areas. I'm still one person. God is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. They're all God. They're all one God. In the Bible, it talks about when Jesus says husband and, you know, a woman will leave her mother and father and a man leave his mother and father, and they two become one. Okay, so as a married couple, the two become one. Yet you're still two individuals, but you are one. You're unified, right? Kind of following me a little bit there? So that's why we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is God. He is God. And he's with us. And we have to get to know him. We have to get to know him. That's what we talked about last week, is recognizing the importance and the value we put on the Holy Spirit. Because of all three of the God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the one that's the most misunderstood. And yet he's the one that's with us. The one with us is the one that we don't understand the most. And that we get nervous about, because depending on how you've grown up or where you've been, you probably saw some stuff that when you hear Holy Spirit, you're like, oh boy, it's about to get crazy. And that's not true. And we said this last week, and I'll continue to say it. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. So if you saw weird stuff in the name of the Holy Spirit, that was the weird people, and they'd have been weird without the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is not weird. And doesn't just come on you and make you do crazy stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is your helper, not your doer, your helper. He comes alongside and he helps you. So we're going to try to demystify a little bit of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think for some people that have seen things or heard things, or you grew up where you just couldn't talk about it, no one talked about that, that's that weird stuff. You know, you need to be open. Because you're missing out. But then you get over here on this side where you are so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. Like you're just like out there in your own little land and you're not affecting anybody. You're not loving people. You're not growing. You're not encouraging people. you're just out doing your own weird stuff, then you know what? You need to allow the Lord to help you say, what is me and what's the Holy Spirit? Because don't get me wrong, we're not going to put the Holy Spirit in a box and say, this is how he has to work. But we're not going to get into just, well, this is how it worked for my grandma, so I'm going to do the same thing. Because the Holy Spirit will work in your life maybe different than how he does in someone else's. But it's us to be open about who the Holy Spirit is. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about everything we can about the Holy Spirit. This series could be going on till Jesus comes. Who knows? Jesus could come anytime. So that's a true statement no matter what. But we're just going to take our time and we're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. So this week, we're going to talk a little bit about what does the Holy Spirit do? And what is his role? And there's a lot. We're not going to get all this in one week. So there's a lot of different things the Holy Spirit does for us. But I want to read you a few scriptures to start. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Apollos was in Corinth. We read this last week. Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Now, these were believers, people that were saved. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? He asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. The reason I put this in there is because there is a part of when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you. But there is an understanding and a knowledge of what that is and an openness to the fullness of the Spirit that even believers sometimes don't have. So to think, well, I'm a believer, that's all I need. Listen, there's more for you than just being saved. God wants to do more in your life. It's not just about you being saved, but he wants to minister to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you to be a blessing to others. He wants to do all kinds of things in your life. And even believers can sometimes not even have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I put that in your notes. So let's go to the second scripture, John chapter 16, verse 5. And this is going to be our main passage today. John 16, verse 5 through 11. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. He's saying, look, I have to go so you can have the advocate or the helper, the one that comes alongside of you. Okay? If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, this is what he says. He will convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and the coming judgment. Okay, let's go back to that verse for a minute. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. We're going to talk about this right here today. This is what we're going to talk about today. Of this role that the Holy Spirit has, that he does very well. And that part of his role, you're going to see how it's already manifested in your life. Because here's what you have to remember. Let's go to that verse in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It's the last verse in the letter of the Corinthian church that Paul writes. It's the last letter there and the last verse of the letter. And it says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, so the grace that comes with Jesus, okay, Jesus came, he paid for your sins, he covered it, his grace that Jesus has, and then it says the love of God, okay, so you see Jesus and you see God, the love of God, and here's what it says about the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Meaning this, the Holy Spirit, fellowship is community, communion, gathering together. When we have a time of fellowship, we have a time where we're all hanging out. We're talking together. Because of our vision, embrace, encourage, equip, and empower, embracing means that we love each other. And we build relationship with each other. Which means when we have this greeting time we have every Sunday, it's so funny to me sometimes if a visitor comes, they're like, man, you know, I'm used to like turn around and say hello and sit down. But y'all like spend five, six, 7 minutes just walking around talking to people. Well, that's because we're building community, fellowship. So fellowship of the Holy Spirit means a continual interaction of community and connection that you have with the Holy Spirit. So of all of these, it says the grace of Jesus, the love of God, but the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, a continual thing. So when we understand the Holy Spirit's the one with us and we connect, we need to know, what is the Holy Spirit all about? And we're going to talk through those things. But let's go back to that verse in John 16. So he'll convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and the coming judgment. Now let's go to verse 9. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Talking about Jesus. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So here's what part of the Holy Spirit's role is, and this is how it happened in your life. Because there's a scripture, we talked about it last week, that says no one comes to Jesus and says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that draws us to Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father, right? John 14:6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So we're drawn to the Spirit, through the Spirit, to Jesus, to God, our relationship with God. And that's how it is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So I've heard people say, when you think about what's the main role of the Holy Spirit? To convict us of our sin. And listen to me. I'm going to tell you, there is part of the Holy Spirit that we can use, because convict means also to convince. But he will reprove or convict or convince you of things as you walk through life. But here's the picture I do not want people to paint. And I don't want you to get this picture. That the Holy Spirit, who loves you and is with you all the time, who is the revealed Jesus to you and communicate God to you, communicate what God has for you, that guides you, that leads you in all truth, that is your helper, that he's just that guy walking around telling you all the things you're doing wrong. Because I don't want friends like that. How many of you either have a friend like that or don't look around like, don't do that. But how many of you know people that all they want to do is point out every fault that you have? How many have been around someone like that? You just, oh, that's not how you do it. That's wrong. That's wrong. Or, listen, there is a time for this, okay? We need to learn to say no. But I'm telling you, you go to Walmart or you go to Target or you go somewhere and you see those parents, no, 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 stop, no, no. And I'm like, okay, that's one too many, that's a lot of too many no's. Like, you know, don't just, well, one is I grew up, if they said it once, that was it. And there was no, you know, I've seen this too. Get over here. No. One. Get over here. Two. Get over here. Three. Listen. The way I grew up, one means you're getting hit once. Two, you're getting hit twice. It ain't no counting giving you options. It's like I said, get over here. But a lot of times, see, we sometimes, even with our kids, we lead by telling people what not to do. And there is a part of saying, hey, don't do that. But then it's just coming back with that and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. Because if you just tell people, think about it this way. Let's say you're driving, or you're driving, and I'm going to tell you how to get to my house. But the way I'm going to tell you is just tell you what roads not to turn on. Okay? You just drive around. Nope, not there. Nope. Nope. You're going to drive around and drive around. See, we have this picture that the Holy Spirit, all he does is just tell us, no, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong. You should be ashamed of yourself. Listen, that's not the role of the Holy Spirit. Where it talks about the Holy Spirit convicting, it's convicting the world, unbelievers. What the Holy Spirit does to us is point us to truth. So if he guides us into truth, he's saying this is the way you should go. Which means if you make a mistake, he's saying, hey, listen, turn over here. This is the right path. That's loving. That's gentle. That's kind. And we'll get to that. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we associate the Holy Spirit with anything separate than what the fruit of the Spirit is, then we're off. Because the Bible says this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what will manifest with the Holy Spirit. Not shame, not condemnation, not you sorry, whatever. That's not. Anything that makes you feel that way, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you to truth. So what the Holy Spirit does is convict the unbeliever of sin. In other words, to say, you need help. Because here's the reality of the world we live in. None of us are righteous on our own. None of us. We all were born with a sinful nature. We were born in the sin. You don't have to teach people how to sin. You have to train people how to do right. Listen, I don't care how much you love your kids. You can do whatever, but listen, at some point, your kid is going to say, mine. No. Kids don't come out learning to share. They don't, that's just not natural. What's natural is the selfishness, the stuff that we have to help train them so they don't live that way. If you leave a young person untrained, it's not going to be good. How did your kid get so spiritual? Oh, I just never taught them anything. Just naturally happened. They were just born little angels. Ooh. That's not true. We have this sinful nature that sin is real. And before we found Jesus, listen, you were just like everybody else. And the reality is there's a cost of sin. There's a consequence to sin, naturally and eternally. And the cost is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So death has to be paid to cover sin. Because we accepted Jesus, we accepted the payment that Jesus made in dying on the cross. That's why we're saved today. Because of Jesus, he paid the price for us. So unbelievers that are just going down, living their life, doing their thing, listen, part of the role of the Holy Spirit is to draw people to Jesus and to convict the world of their sin. And it says, what is that sin? Here's the sin. It says in verse 10, I believe it is, the sin of not believing in him. The sin of rejecting Jesus. And I've had people, you know, it's funny because as a pastor, people want to ask you all these questions and debate, you know, and they were like, all right, so if someone sins, then did they go to hell? And I said, well, do righteous people ever miss it? Yeah. What if Jesus comes as soon as you make one mistake? Are you on your way to hell? No. You know why? Because the sin that takes you to hell is rejecting Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your life's going to change. Because Romans 6 says you can't use grace as a reason to sin. But if sin is what, if you just make one mistake and then your life is over, then we're all in trouble. Because how many of you sinned this week at all? I mean, just this week. If your hand ain't up, you just did, okay? So you can raise it now. We all have messed up somewhere. And as we understand that, we're realizing, you know, Jesus paid for that. But if we don't receive that payment is what pays for our sin. And God so loved the world, he gave his son. He loved the world. That payment was for everybody. It's for everybody to receive. But the Bible says that, listen, Jesus isn't slow in coming again. Listen, I know we're close. I know the Lord's return is soon. I believe it is. But I will tell you this, that he's not slow. He's patient because he wants everybody to come to know him. He wants more people to come to know him. There's still, listen, there's people around you all over the place that if Jesus came today, they wouldn't be here. Or they would be here. We wouldn't be here. And this is the thing that I think we have to be careful to, and not preach this in a, you know, negative, condemning way. But here's the reality. There's one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. I had someone, they weren't challenging me, but they were like, you know, I have a hard time thinking that that's the only way to heaven. And I was like, well, I believe this. And that's what it says. There's one way to heaven. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go, you know, slam everybody. Oh, yeah, you can be nice. You'll just be the nicest person in hell. That's what you'll be, you know. That doesn't help anyone. Doesn't encourage anybody. But reality is, without Jesus, we have no promise of eternal life with him. And we live in a world where we just think we've just gotten away from some of the fundamental truths that we can live however we want. And it's okay as long as we're nice. But see, the Holy Spirit comes to say, listen, I want you to know, until you receive Jesus, that's the payment for your sin. And it's only with him that you have eternal life. That's what he convicts people of. He convicts the believer that you need Jesus because you don't want to go down the path that you're heading. You don't want to head down a path without Jesus. You need to receive Jesus. That's what he does. So he convicts the world. Now, convicted, it gets to the point. Peter was sharing a message after the day of Pentecost. And just so you know, I said this last week, but the Holy Spirit was at work far before Acts chapter 2. So when we think, oh, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened, that's when everything happened. Listen, the Holy Spirit was already at work. There's more to it than just that. So the Holy Spirit was at work, but here's the thing. When Peter, after this, people were confused and they were asking questions. Oh, they must be drunk. What's going on with all this? And Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, he speaks, begins to share a message, and then it says this about that Peter's word pierced their hearts. In other words, there was something that just got them. A revelation, a conviction of the Holy Spirit, I believe, that they got it. And they said, brothers, what should we do? They said that. And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So he's telling them there, when all of a sudden there was this point of conviction, that then Peter then said, here's what you need to do. You need to repent and give your life to Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. So this whole idea of being convicted as unbelievers. John 3:16 talks about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 says this. God sent his son into the world not to judge it, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. So there is a reality of us believing in Jesus, and there's a judgment that comes for those who do not. And so that's why the Holy Spirit helps to convict unbelievers of sin to draw them to a place of receiving Jesus. The second thing that he convicts of, and again, this word convict also has to do with convincing. It's not always a convicting like a shaming. It's a convincing, like I want to show you something. Here's what else the Holy Spirit wants to show us. It says not only of convicting the world of its sin, but also convincing believers of their righteousness, of righteousness. Now, what does it mean? What does righteous mean? It means right standing with God. Right standing with God. There's places in Scripture where it says, listen, there is the right standing with God. It's not based on us. Isaiah 64:6 says this, we're all infected, impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. In other words, us on our own, we can't walk in righteousness on our own. The law, all the law did, and it talks about it in Romans, all the law did is point out your need for a Savior. It just basically pointed out your sin. You couldn't even fulfill it all. It just pointed out your need for help. Jeremiah 23:6 says this, and this will be his name, the Lord is our what? Righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Romans 5:17-19. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of what? Now listen, gift of righteousness. Think about a gift. How many of you got a gift for your Christmas or your birthday and you had to pay for it? Not, hopefully not. A gift is given. So Jesus, God is saying, look, how much greater is God's grace and his gift that he has given of righteousness? For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings right relationship or right standing with God and new life for everyone. So the Holy Spirit is also to help us realize the importance and how righteous, one, that Jesus is, and God's act of righteousness, right? So we're recognizing that. But then look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone. A new life has become. Listen, when you give your life to Jesus, things change. Now you can look and say, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm still carrying a little extra. Still not looking real great. I still struggle with some of the errors I was struggling with before I gave my life to Jesus. Like, doesn't seem like everything's changed. But listen, now what has to happen is you're going to begin to see yourself. Because you may not notice and understand the change, but change has happened. Change has happened. Some of the things still may look similar, but you're in a process now that change is happening. And you may see yourself one way, but you're actually different. I've used this illustration before, so guys, just bear with me. How many of you ever seen the movie Princess Diaries? Yeah, see? Good for you men raising your hands. The rest of y'all, you know you saw it. You was like, saying no princess. Okay, here's the deal, though. The girl in that movie, at the beginning of the movie, was not carrying herself very well, was just not dressing very well, not caring what she really looked like, just kind of like, you know, just whatever. At the end of the movie, she found out she's the princess of Genovia, right? So now, if you watch the end of the movie, she's all like dressed different, she's walking different, you know, she's doing her little... She's feeling better. She's influencing people that she would have never even thought she could influence. Now, here's the reality. She had this understanding that she's a princess and it changed everything. But let me ask you this question. In the beginning of the movie, was she still a princess? Yes. But she didn't know. Therefore, she didn't act like it. Part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us is to convince us that we are what we don't think we are, or we don't know who we really are, because we can act like trouble. We can act like we're not valuable. We can act like we're not good. We can have our own pity parties of how bad we are. Reality is, you just need a revelation of who you are. Because once you get it, you're going to talk different, and you're going to walk different. You're going to influence people different, but you're that person now. As soon as you give your life to Jesus, you become that person. So that's when you have to begin to realize, God, show me who I am. Let the Holy Spirit convince you that you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, you are righteous. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, created us anew in Christ Jesus. Okay, he's created us new in Christ Jesus because of our walk with him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for whose sin? Ours. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. In other words, the New King James says it this way, so we could be the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we are. Romans 3, verse 23. Everyone has sinned. Everyone. Everyone has fallen short of God's glorious standard. Everybody. Yet, God freely and graciously declares that we are, say it, that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. So see, we think that when we go to God, he's looking at us like, oh, here he comes. Oh, boy. You know what? When you go to God, you know what he sees? He sees Jesus in you. He sees that that price has been paid. Listen, if you've ever gotten in trouble, okay, if you've ever done something, and, or, well, I'll just, okay, in high school, middle school, my daughter found this out. She was like, oh, my goodness. I was suspended for 10 days. Happened a few times, and I looked at it as vacation. But when I got suspended, and I go home, or it's in-school suspension, different types of suspension, when that would happen, if I went back to school, they didn't punish me again for the same thing. Why? Because I already paid for that. When I was in college, and I had 3 days that I had to stay in my dorm room at Bible college, and I like to tell people I was just fasting and praying. I was forced to stay in my dorm room. So here's the thing, though. When it happened, when I come out, it was like I didn't have to pay for that anymore. It had been paid. So listen, your sin had a cost, but it's been paid. So if it's been paid, you don't have to pay it. You have to receive the payment. And now, because he made the payment, you stand before God with that sin paid for. Right? Now, you don't use that as a reason, well, since he paid for it, I can just go do whatever I want. No. Romans 6 tells you you cannot do that. If you do that, I question if the Lord is Lord of your life. But reality is, we have to understand the good, loving, gracious God that we serve. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us realize that we need to see ourselves as righteous, because that's who he declares us to be. We didn't earn it. He declared it because of Jesus. So, what is righteous? What does it mean to be righteous? The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him, and they're safe. What do righteous people do when you're nervous? Where do you run? To the Lord. David says in Psalms 37, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. You know what that means? If you're righteous, God will take care of you. He'll provide for you. The righteous fall. But what do? They get back up. So if you see yourself as righteous, then when you mess up, you don't throw a pity party and just stay down there. I'm a terrible person. No. You're righteous. Man, I messed up. But get back up, and I'm going to get this. I'm going to allow the Lord to help me, and I'm going to strengthen myself, and I'm going to walk this thing out. That's what righteous people do. So when you recognize that you're righteous, you're going to start looking at these scriptures that talk about what righteous people do, and that's what you're going to do. The righteous or the just live by faith. What do righteous people do? Righteous believe what the Lord says. Believe what the Word says. Because we're righteous. All right? So that's what the Holy Spirit also wants to help us and convince us of. And then the last thing as we prepare to close up is, it says in verse 11 of John chapter 16, when you get down to verse 10 and 11, it talks about not only does he convict the world of his sin, convince us as believers of his righteousness, but also says, and of judgment. And it talks about how how the enemy has been judged. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, here's something I think we need to be reminded of, all right? As believers, I'm going to let you in on a secret. We win. We win. We've actually won. The devil has been defeated. His eternal, he knows. He's toast. He's going to try to take anybody and everybody he can. But listen, he's already been defeated. And when you look at Scripture, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Listen to what it says. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, not yet cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ. Okay, that's what God did for us when he forgave us of our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus paid for that, right? Now look at this. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He disarmed the enemy. The enemy's going to act like he's good and act like he's got all this power over you. He doesn't. He doesn't. He's a deceiver is all he is. He's going to try to deceive you into thinking. He's going to try to get you off track. He don't have any power over you as a child of God. Not at all. I'll never forget when I was on staff at a church in Cornelius, we had a big men's group, and we went to this retreat, and we played paintball. Yes, thank you. We played paintball. So we split up into two teams, and being a youth pastor, I had played paintball a lot with the youth. And so we're playing, and the guy on the other team was one of the pastors, and he had played some, but he was in the military and all that, so he was like all like, you know, I mean, he's just crazy like that. So our teams are going, and there's only two people left. I'm the only one left on my team. He's the only one left on his team. The flag's still in the middle, and we're battling for it. So I'm sitting there, and you know, I'm hiding, I'm pow, you know, and then he's shooting at me. Well, if you've ever played paintball, there is a distinct sound when you're just shooting the CO2, but there's no paintballs anymore. You're out of paintballs. It's a different sound than when you're shooting actual paintballs. So he's like, choo, choo, foo, foo. And I could tell, he's like, he don't have any more ammo. But he's still got the CO2 stuff that's still making it sound like he's got something. But there's nothing coming out. I knew that. He didn't. So I came out. I was like, come on, hit me, hit me. He like, phew, and I would go like that. I mean, have you ever seen The Matrix? That was all me. I was like, woyah. Every time he shot, woyah, you're not getting me. And he's like, come on. And he's just shooting and shooting. And I'm just dodging and, you know, knowing that there's nothing coming out of the gun. And I'm start walking to the flag. And he's like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, 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 yeah. It was the best time ever. I was loving it. I took my time getting to the flag. I'd go like that, like I could see the paintballs coming. Like, oh, whoo, missed that one. I mean, it was like I was having a blast. But the whole time, he thinks that he's scaring me. He thinks he's close to getting me. But I know that he has no paintballs left. Can I just tell you something? The enemy is like, and he don't have power over us. So instead of hiding behind that tree and staying back and not moving forward with what God's called you to do, why don't you just get out and say, you can't take me. Listen, James 4:7 says, I submit to God. I just resist you. And you got to flee. You have no power over me. You've already been judged. And then remind him that that final eternal judgment is coming too. But we spend so much time thinking about all this stuff that's happening. Can I tell you, there's evil in the world. I get it. But this is all temporary. We win. At the end, we're going to be fine. He's doomed. The enemy's done. He's been judged. And we, because of Jesus, get to have eternal, abundant life. Forever. And the enemy's just trying to scare you, trying to make you think it's hopeless, trying to make you think nothing will ever change, trying to make you think it's done. Listen, no matter what happens here, listen, Bible says this is like a vapor anyway. Your time on earth, it's here today, gone tomorrow. We spend all this time thinking all of our joy is wrapped up into one little speck on the dot, one little dot on the map. And all eternity, And we get all worked up over this one little thing. I'm just telling you, we need to know, look, this ain't the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. We win. We win. Let's walk with confidence. Let's do what God's called us to do. Let's don't get caught up in all the deceitful lies of the enemy that wants to shame you and take you down and make you feel like you're nothing. Listen, the Holy Spirit drew you to Jesus. And now he's telling you you're righteous. And you need to start seeing yourself that way. And when you see yourself that way, you'll begin to act that way. And then don't get caught up in all this stuff with the enemy, thinking the enemy's just overtaking everything and you, and this is all going to go. Listen, God's got you. And the end result for all of us is eternity with God forever and ever and ever. And the little things we deal with here and there is nothing compared to the joy we're going to have. When we're not, I mean, we can have now, but also even when we're spending eternity in heaven where there isn't any of this anymore. So don't, listen, I'm not, don't get me wrong, but celebrate. Just remember, talk to the Holy, get to know the Holy Spirit. Don't spend all your time. Matter of fact, spend very little time talking to the devil. You ever been around them people, they pray, and they spend 90% of the prayer talking to the devil. I'm like, could you imagine someone coming to talk to you, but they just talk to somebody else the whole time, but they actually started with, hey, Scott, and then they talk to somebody else? Listen, the way you overcome the devil isn't by, matter of fact, Ephesians 6 says this, put on the armor of God and stand. See, the enemy's already been defeated. Just stand in the victory you already have. Stand. Stand firm. Stand firm. And just believe. Believe what the Holy Spirit is telling you. That you have hope. You have life. You have help. You're righteous because of Jesus. He's got you. He's got you. Don't lose hope. That's all the enemy. Don't lose hope. If you're here today and you're struggling with hope, I'm telling you the Holy Spirit is here today just to remind you and convince you that the enemy has already been judged and you have hope because your judgment was placed on Jesus. Your penalty was placed on Jesus. You know how much you're loved? You think about that. The price for you to be saved was the Son of God. You can judge something by how much you pay for it. You go pay a ton of money for a pair of jeans, you ain't painting in them. Right? What are you going to do? If you're going to go do some yard work? Well, some of you still have a little bit of pride. You want to look nice in the yard. But for me, if I'm doing some yard work, hey, I don't care. One day I had sweatpants on, dark socks. My sweatpants were like right here. I had dress socks on, old tennis shoes. And I'm just mowing. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, my goodness. Neighbors are. But you know what? I'm not going to wear stuff I spent a lot of money on, right? You can tell by how much you spend what it's worth. So what were you worth? The Son of God, his life. You ought to pick your head up a little bit. You ought to start to feel a little bit better about yourself. That God declares you as righteous. Even if you don't feel it, God says it. Whether you agree or not, God has declared that over you as a believer. And we need to receive that.